Thank you, Brother Jerry, for a beautiful song leading. Appreciate the prayers we've had this morning. It's truly good to be here. Amen? Amen, isn't it? Day the Lord has made. Well, as probably most of you know, it's summertime, right? And if you were here about a week ago, it was summertime, right? Yes. It's been nice and cool this week. But most of us know it's still summertime, and August is coming, and that's when kids start getting ready to go back to school, but they're not remembering that, are they? Kids don't start thinking about going back to school. I've already been affirmed to that early this morning. But it is summertime, and we're still enjoying the weather, right? Okay, good. Well, I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 8. As most of you remember, Vacation Bible School was about Noah and the Ark. What a wonderful account that we have in the Word of God regarding how God chose to save Noah and his family. And of course, not only Noah and his family, but all those animals in that ark. Almost asked Jerry if he remembers what a milk barn and a barn lot smell like in hot summertime, but I don't need to do that because I know he does. Probably most of you do. You've been outside in those type of environments, and the heat is not necessarily the best thing for making the smell that good. But isn't it wonderful we all smell good? If you notice the person next to you smelling pretty good, it's not a milk barn, is it? Can you imagine being in that ark with all those animals? There's a lot of cleaning to do, wasn't there, Scott? And I'm sure they did it. But it came time for them to leave, and I would just imagine for sure they were ready to get out of the ark. The birds were sent, the raven, and then, of course, later on, the dove, and then it was time, dry land. And there we tell, the scripture tells us in chapter 8 that Noah went out and his sons, in verse 18, his wife and his sons' wives with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar. And that was a little less tasking than it was to build an ark, wasn't it? But he built the altar. So the Lord took every clean animal and every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Then verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Yes, Noah, I'm sure, and his family were happy to be on solid ground. And there God tells them clearly that the cycle of the earth is going to be in motion. There the earth is going to stand with seed time and harvest. And there the cold and heat, and we all know about that, don't we? Cold and heat. Don't we love those seasons where we're just comfortable? But yet we know winter's coming after every summer, if the Lord allows us to live. We know that there's going to be after winter, spring, that's that comfortable time, and then comes summer with its summer heat. They're not going to cease. The scripture tells us, and probably some of you remember this old song that was very popular years ago, and if you don't remember it, that's okay, because I know some of you are younger than others. But the words go like this. There's a time in each year that we always hold dear. Good old summertime. How many of you feel like that about summertime? I've got three out there that love summer. Of course, the problem with summer is it gets hot. But there's a lot of good things about the summer with the birds and the trees and the sweet-scented breezes. Good old summertime. When your day's work is over, then you are in clover. And life is one beautiful rhyme. No trouble annoying, each one is enjoying the good whole summer time. And when I was a kid, I loved summer because it was the time we were going to get out and we had opportunities to enjoy something like you see on the screen this morning. This is my joy of summertime, being able to see a stream or a river that looks like this, maybe be on a canoe, which I haven't done in years. or maybe even a fishing pole. I know some of you like to get out and fish. And summer's a beautiful time to be out until it gets too hot. But we enjoy and we picture summer like this. And then sometimes we think of summer as being the time for good old watermelon, right? How many of you have enjoyed a good old watermelon already? Yes. Beautiful, good old summertime. But then there's summer like this. This is the kind of summer we want to forget when it starts getting hot and the temperature's climbing. Right now it's pretty nice. But we know that that's liable to change as the temperature soars into the 90s and even pushes upward to 100. And we know, living in this part of the world, that August can be rather warm. And so we can enter into what we call the dog days of summer. And we want to be just like this dog right here, right? Now this is a dog's day for summer, for sure. That dog is quite comfortable laying in that ice. But what does this tell us? It tells us that our God has for us defined distinct divisions in the seasons. And as you look at the scripture that we have here in verse 22, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, it is there for a reason. Our God has given us something that speaks to us and tells us that He is the one who is in control. He is the Creator. He is the Almighty God, and He's given us those seasons that help us understand and to see the greatness of His power and might. Psalm 74, verse 17, "You have set all the borders of the earth." Speaking of God, "You have made summer and winter." When we think about this season being the time of summer, we see God. We see the evidence of the great Creator who has made definite divisions for us to understand His almighty power. Think about summer, winter, light, darkness from the creation. Then, of course, there's good and there's evil. There's right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness, joy and sorrow, and peace and unrest. That's the world, isn't it? But who's in control of this world? The Almighty God who messed up the world. Unfortunately, we know the answer to that too, don't we? Those of you that were in VBS, you learned what happened that brought about the flood. We're aware of it. We know that there is right and wrong, good and evil. But unfortunately, too many people want to choose what is wrong. And of course, Satan's well at work, isn't he? Because what does he do? He takes the truth of God and he distorts it so that people walk in error. And that is a real problem. It started in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do? He changed one word. Or added one word. "Thou shalt not surely die." That's all it took to cause man to fall. There's an interesting occurrence in Acts 13. Reference Paul and Barnabas. They had gone through the island to Paphos. And they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Notice the scripture there in Acts 13, verse 6, calls him a false prophet. Verse 7, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus. This is a government official. And the scripture tells us that he's an intelligent man. And I think that's there to show the contrast between the sorcerer who was a false prophet, not so intelligent. To be false is to be wrong with God, and that's a problem. Then this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God, the intelligent one. But notice what happens in verse 8. The sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And so Paul is going to counter the problem with error by presenting the truth. And what does he say? Verse 10. "And said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud." Look at the contrast here. This is what I want to see you to see in this passage. Just like summer and winter, there's a tremendous contrast between truth and error and those who walk that way. Full of deceit, fraud, son of the devil, enemy of righteousness. And notice what happens. "Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" How was it there was only Noah and a few of his family who went into the ark? What happened to the world? Well, we know, don't we? The world ended up perverted. And what caused the perversion? Because people departed from ways of the Lord. And notice the Scripture says, straight ways of the Lord. And that's significant. And that is a problem. And there is a distinction between the two, truth and error. So much so that when we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, the church is warned. The church at Ephesus, as a matter of fact. The elders are warned. Paul saying that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. And so he's giving them warning, not sparing the flock. And then he says to them specifically, and from among yourselves men will rise up. And notice what they will do. They will speak perverse things for the purpose of drawing away the disciples after themselves. That word perverse is a fascinating word in Scripture. It means bent, distorted, twisted. It's like the bent, distorted stick. It's out of shape. And he warns them that people will speak things that are out of shape. Therefore, we are obligated that no matter what's said from any pulpit, no matter what's said in a class, we have the obligation to search the Scriptures to make sure that we understand the truth, because we don't want to be on the side of error. But moving on to summertime, it's interesting that Scripture tells us that the good old summertime is announced by spring. Now, coming out of winter, spring is a welcome treat, isn't it? Luke 21, verse 30. Jesus was speaking, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. I remember being a kid in school. The year was winding down. And I wanted to be the point that I didn't have to think about school again, because I was looking forward to summer. And spring was that announcement time that says, hey, summer is coming. In Matthew 24 and verse 32, Jesus goes on and he said, now learn this parable from the fig tree. Of course, summertime, what happens to the trees? They come alive. And that's exciting. Of course, what happens when those trees come alive? We can see God alive in His creation. But he goes on, he says, when its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Yes, good old summertime. In fact, you look at the context of Matthew 24, verse 33, he says, know that it is near. There's that word, near. Know that it's near and at the doors. What's he talking about? Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, he's just told the disciples that the buildings of the temple are going to be torn down, not one stone left upon another. And he said that time's near for them. And he gave them information about that near time. And he goes on, verse 34, surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Jesus was giving them assurance that this was going to happen. What's that mean for us? Well, we're past AD 70, and it's a great history to read. It's important to understand from a scriptural aspect, because a lot of folks miss the destruction of Jerusalem and what it was about. But for us, it speaks the same way as the seasons speak. Who's in control? Who set the order? Who made it clear this is going to happen? The Almighty Creator, the God. In the case of Matthew 24, Jesus said it was going to happen. And then, of course, it did. But here's what's interesting. When you think about the destruction of Jerusalem or life in general, things don't always happen just like we expected, right? I don't really want to say this to you, but I was looking forward to a hot, sunny day to preach this sermon to you today. Now, I looked at the forecast last week, and there was a chance I was going to have that day so y'all could see the sun shining in the window. So you have a distinct illustration as you walked out of the building as to the seasons. But things don't always go the way we think, do they? How many of you have had the privilege and honor of experiencing snow during summertime? Anybody? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it, Courtney? It happens. It snows in summer. And that's kind of amazing to think about, but here's an article that happened a few years ago about Calgary. It was stunned by snowfall in the middle of summer. Of course, that's a little bit north, but they don't usually have what they got this time. And the woman is quoted as saying, only in Alberta. Well, if it happened here in the middle of summer, we might go, wow, But things do happen that we don't expect. That's why in Proverbs 27, verse 1, we're encouraged. Do not boast about tomorrow. And notice what he says, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Isn't that true about life? We've got plans for this week, don't we? We're privileged in having our daughter and son-in-law with us this weekend, and our grandkids, which we've enjoyed, and we've got a guest here. If y'all haven't met him, I encourage you to do so. We've got Gary from Vietnam, who's visiting with us this morning. And it may be, Gary, we're going to come see you one of these days when he gets back to Vietnam, if he goes back. And anyway, he's studying here in America at Harding University, going to become smarter and smarter. I've learned Gary likes to eat, so he's in the right place. But we're happy to have him with us. But Gary, like the rest of us, doesn't know what a day is going to bring forth. But I am thankful that we can look forward to things that God brings forth. This is the time of harvest. This is the time of watermelon and tomatoes and green beans and green peppers. It's the time of the summer harvest. It's, as the Scripture says in Proverbs 10, verse 5, the time to gather in summer. And he who gathers is a wise son. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. Proverbs 6 and verse 8, look what the Scripture says. Provides her supplies in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. A time of harvest, a time we look forward to, time to enjoy those slices of tomatoes in those bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. As Jeremiah pointed out in Jeremiah 40 and verse 10, he says, I will indeed dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us, but you gather wine and summer fruit. He's talking about the time for reaping those grapes and those summer fruits that appear that are used to survive the winter. And because of the need for survival and the fact that God gives us that harvest and the need to reap it while it is there, we have to take the opportunities while they are there. In John 4 and verse 35, you remember what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, do not stay, there are still 4 months. And then comes the harvest. Do you ever think about life and how easy it is to say, I know I need to be doing that, but tomorrow, right? What's wrong with that? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's no place for procrastination when it comes to harvest. Because we know if we don't get those watermelon and cantaloupe at the right time, those tomatoes, they may not be good anymore. Because they have a limited window of harvest. So Jesus says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. He's given us eyes to see opportunities and responsibilities. Therefore, he tells us we must take the opportunity as it's presented. And so he says the fields are already white for harvest. So summer is the time to be utilized while it exists. And there's a great lesson there that we can apply to everyday living. And it is a reality that we have evidence of the great Creator who set forth in motion that time of harvest. In Proverbs 10 and verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And we know why, don't we? Because that kind of son is not in a position to aid those who need to exist. And so therefore it is a time to be utilized, not to slumber or to sleep. Jeremiah 8 verse 20, another interesting passage. The harvest is past. The summer's ended. Yes, summer will come to an end. That means the door of opportunity is going to close. And notice the spiritual context of this passage. And this is the tragic one, isn't it? And we are not saved. If I miss picking a watermelon or a cantaloupe or a tomato, life hopefully will go on and somebody will feed me. And I can recover from that. Probably need to be on a diet anyway. But what about this passage? What's the problem for Israel? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and the prophet proclaims, we are not saved. That's not a place you want to be, is it? What is this passage telling us? Opportunity is now. We must take advantage of opportunity as it exists. You remember this passage in Acts chapter 24, verse 25? We have a time in the life of Felix that he trembles. He's a man of power. He's a man who, just like you and I, he had experienced season after season that God created. But notice what he says as he calls for Paul. He says, as Paul reasons with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, here's something I want you to think about. Going back to Genesis chapter 8, do you read that in the list that God provided us? We have, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter, summer, day and night shall not cease. But do you read convenient season in that list? No, it's not there, is it? He made that one up, didn't he? Here Paul is speaking to him the truth of the Almighty God, of Jesus Christ, and the importance of salvation. And of course, he trembles at what has been said, especially in reference to judgment to come, temperance, self-control, and of course, righteousness. And how does righteousness come? Through the wonderful work of God and the grace of the cross, and of course, response in obedience to that grace. He's trembling, but he's thinking of a season we don't have in the list. In Genesis chapter 8. He says, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for you." I know some of you put up hay for many, many years. Have you ever noticed it's really not a convenient season to put up hay? You do it when it needs to be done, right? When you've got a window of opportunity and no rain, you harvest the crops. You don't wait for a convenient season for yourself, because if you do, you have a problem. Felix has a problem. He's creating a season for himself. And we never read that that season ever came. I know that there's, the Lord allows this earth to go on from the promise of Genesis 8, that we're going to have a spring, a summer, fall, and a winter. But God never promised you or me or anybody else, especially Felix, a convenient season. If you're here this morning and you've been waiting for that convenient season to get your life right with God, it's not coming. It's not on the list. Now is the right time. Now is the time for salvation. We can say it's the time of the harvest. It's the window of opportunity. And I want to beg and encourage you to take that as you have that opportunity. The plan is laid out in the Scriptures. If you need help understanding that plan, someone would love to study with you and help you to understand what the truth of God's Word is. But if you know, and you've been delaying in getting your life right with the Lord, then this morning, why not take the opportunity while it's summer, while the opportunity is there? We have no promise of tomorrow. It's today. It's right now. As a Christian, think about it the same way. Let's not wait for a convenient season to do what the Lord wants us to do, to be right with Him in our lives. It's time for Him to be first. Is He first in your life? That's an important question to consider as we stand and sing, "Would You Come?"